The Lord is the strength of his people and the protector of the salvation of his anointed. And of course, the Psalms speak about originally the people of God in the Old Testament, the people of Israel. But the Psalms were not written just for the Old Testament. They were written for the New Testament, for us. And so the Lord is our strength and is our protector. Now, how do we become his people? Today, the subject of baptism has been very much on my mind, also in the other Mass. We oftentimes do not think about the very wonderful and great gift of baptism. Of course, as St. Paul tells the Romans and tells us, for that epistle was not just for the Romans, it is also for us. Those who are baptized in Christ Jesus are baptized into his death. And of course, some would say, well, all you need is that, and that's it. But if you read all the things of the New Testament, the Gospels and the epistles, you will find out very soon, very clearly, that this baptism with which we begin our official relationship with Christ, with which we are cleansed of original sin, which is a mortal sin, with which we are made part of his mystical body, the one holy Catholic and apostolic church, that baptism is joined together with the death of Christ, which we celebrate at every Mass as we celebrate the Paschal Mysteries, the holy and unbloody death of Christ. If it was still bloody, it would turn us away and would make us gag. He is God. He knows us. He knows our nature. So he transforms himself, his body and blood, soul and divinity, into the most holy Eucharist. The elements which are consecrated for the Eucharist, bread and wine. And all this unites us to his Paschal mystery, the sorrowful but yet glorious death of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, his resurrection from the dead on the third day, his ascension into heaven. And of course, all of this for us today is carried out by the gift of the Holy Spirit. And thus we celebrate the season of Pentecost, the season after Pentecost, until Advent. So we are buried in the waters of baptism as the priest pours the waters over our head, symbolizing the burial of Christ. And then as we rise forth from there and he dries our head and our godparents and parents, we join together in the resurrection of our Lord. And then afterwards, immediately afterwards, we are consecrated by the sacred chrism, the Holy Spirit present physically, though not visibly, in the sacred chrism that has been consecrated, usually by a bishop, but it is sometimes permitted also by a priest. And then we are made part of the mystical body of Christ. He takes possession of us. And so St. Paul speaks of the fact that we are buried with Christ. We are planted together in the likeness of his death. We shall also, he says, be in the likeness of his resurrection. But all this comes at a great price. In this month of the most precious blood, we are reminded by St. Peter that we are not saved by the blood of goats and heifers, but by the blood of the eternal Son of God made man, Jesus Christ. We do not often appreciate it enough. We do not often worship him enough or honor him enough. We are now crucified with him, that the body of sin may be destroyed. Now, one of the things that is important is that we must be dead to sin. It is not just an ongoing process, which to a certain degree it is, because none of us is perfect. But at the same time, we cannot continue to sin and say, well, I'm a work in progress, so maybe tomorrow or the next day I will convert. I will change. I will stop doing these things that are offensive to God. I need not have to spell that out. So many people, and it's a wonderful thing, they come to confession week after week, month after month, and they say, forgive me, Father, for I have sinned. Because I have mentioned that in my book, for some reason or other, some people say, bless me, Father, and it stuck. Must have been some little old nun in the 40s or something. Maybe she was dipping into the sacristy wine. But why should I bless you if you have sinned? Forgive me, Father. But if we go to confession with the idea, well, I will go now and I'll go to communion on Sunday, and then next week I can go to confession again and I will do the same things again. Impurities and fornications and lying and cheating and stealing and whatever it is that you have done already. Now, granted, we know that you're not going to become a saint immediately. Wouldn't that be wonderful? But when we say to Jesus Christ, yes, I accept thee, and I invite thee into my soul, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, with the waters of baptism, with the sacrament of penance, of confession, and I invite thee into my soul, in fact, into my body. So remarkable and so wonderful that, according to moral theologians, and yes, they get involved in everything, that for 15 minutes, the body and blood, soul and divinity of Christ is in your esophagus and in your stomach. Isn't that incredibly wonderful? And then, of course, once he dissolves, once the elements of bread and wine dissolve that you have received, then it's only spiritual. Not physical. So we are buried into the likeness of his death, that we may rise to his resurrection. But there will be no resurrection for us to heaven, to eternal heaven, if we do not give up that which causes us to sin. All the evil habits that we may have. And then, of course, we have the beautiful gospel. And we have spoken about this also, of course, from the Gospel of St. John on that first communion day, not long ago. And some people would tell you, well, how is it that he can turn bread and wine into the body and blood, his body and blood, soul and divinity? True man and true God, living man and living God. And then we read this gospel, as well as the gospel in chapter 6 of St. John, and we see that there was a multitude. Now here they say 4,000. Remember, they only counted the men. And this was before the heinous evil of Margaret Sanger and Planned Parenthood. was. Families were 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 children, sometimes even more. I told you before, my grandmother was the last of 24 children. So families were numerous, because life is a great gift from God, a great blessing from God. And so 4,000 men, plus the wives that were there, plus the children that were there, plus the slaves and the servants, which they still had. You know, we're not woke. We're not going to change history. You can put all the statues back as far as I care. It's people that are making some kind of new mythology of nonsense in our culture, in our country, in our world. Mostly in our country, by the way. They're not doing that anywhere else. And so, all these people were fed, and it's interesting, seven. The number seven is very, very important to the salvation of mankind. God created the world in 7 days. Yes, six, but he rested on the seventh. But that's counted, seven. He gives us seven sacraments, channels of grace and of salvation. He sends us his Holy Spirit, who gives us seven gifts. Seven is everywhere in the history of salvation. And here too, it is not a coincidence. And then, after they all eat, how many baskets do they save? Leftovers? From these 7 pieces of bread, and there were little buns like this, and 7 little fish, probably sardines or something smaller. 7 baskets. Again, 7. And then you can tell me that our Lord Jesus Christ cannot turn bread and wine into the body and blood? What kind of faith do these people have that say such things? I remember a priest that I know, that may he rest in peace, that had very wonderful theology classes, and he basically just gave the basics. He didn't teach anything else like I do. But some people, that's all they can take. They can take baby food, but they cannot eat adult food, like a wonderful filet mignon. And so he would tell them, and there were a lot of them were Protestants and Masons and God knows what that did not believe, but something drew them to Christ, as still Christ draws many others still. Even here in this parish, there are more and more people that are wanting to become part of the one Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, the mystical body of Christ. And he would tell them, well, these people are telling you that Christ cannot give the miracle of the Eucharist. And then he would say to them, okay, let me tell you this. If I put a burning cigarette in an ashtray, does God have the power to change that into whatever he wants? And they would say, oh, of course, yes. God is all-powerful, almighty. And then he would say, and I repeat to you, then who says that he doesn't have the power to change bread and wine into his body and blood, soul and divinity? Are you saying that God can't do it? God can. And he did. And he does every day on our altars. And so today, we have these two very important messages. The one, that we must give up sin in order to become part of the mystical body of Christ, even if we already have been baptized. Once we commit a mortal sin, we are cast out. We are not in communication with God. We cannot receive grace. We cannot receive anything. Maybe symbols, but that's it. So we need to convert again. And perhaps some of us need to convert every day. And the scripture says the just man sins 7 times a day. So perhaps we need to convert 7 times a day. We need to stop sinning and to stop playing games with God and with our eternal salvation. And then, along with that comes this wondrous gift of the Eucharist, of the Mass, of benediction, of all the wonderful things that He gives to us, of which we do not make enough use. So today, let us meditate on these things, on these wonderful and wondrous things. And I remind you, and of course this will be later on put on the website, many, many people listen to these things. I remind you that when you go to communion, first of all, do not come up if you cannot receive. A lot of people come up like this. What does this mean to me? Nothing. What am I, Greek Orthodox? No. I'm a Roman Catholic and proud to be that. When you receive communion, come up if you can receive. Otherwise, stay back there. Make a spiritual communion, yes. And even those who have not yet been baptized or have received First Communion, make a spiritual communion, yes. Ask our Lord to come to you, to come in you. And when I say Corpus Christi, please say amen. But stick out your tongue. If you don't stick out your tongue, I'm not going to put my hand in your mouth. And some people really send me for a trip. This morning there were some that would not stick out their tongue, no matter what I said. Next time I'm just going to pass them by. Stick out your tongue. Never, ever your hand. God forbid. And then make sure that you swallow that great gift of the Eucharist and ask Him to change you, to modify you, to convert you, and to fill you with love for Him. Also, I remind you, it is not part of the Roman ritual for you to make the sign of the cross when you receive communion. Some people do that, and they hit the paten, and if there's any particles on the paten, they go flying where there's no way I can retrieve them. If you want to make the sign of the cross, that's okay with me. If you want to jump, that's okay with me. But wait till you're on your way to your pew. Do not do it at the communion rail where you have an accident and cause me to have an accident. And on top of that, to lose my patience. So let us cooperate with our Lord and with each other as we receive these wondrous mysteries that He has given to us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.